Find the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians, chapter 5. I've been debating ever since I started working on this message where to pick up from. Start reading. It's kind of one of those things that's just kind of right in the middle of the thought in there. So let's start here. Let's start at verse number 5. Ephesians, chapter 5, verse number 5. We'll start there this evening and see how that works out. I was reading through this book one morning here a week or so ago, and there's one of these phrases jumped off of the page. And it's one that I'm familiar with. It was already underlined in my Bible. I preached a series of messages some time ago, several years ago now, on walking in Ephesians. And as you read through the book, if you'll notice, the word walk appears multiple times over in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10. It says, "For ye are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto God good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." In chapter 4, verse number 1, it talks about walking worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Later on in chapter 4, it says, "Walk not as other Gentiles do." Here in chapter 5, early on, it says, "Walk in love." And later on, after this passage that I'm going to read, it says, "Walk circumspectly." But here this evening, I'm interested in this verse 8 phrase. We'll pick up here, start out here in verse 5. It says, "For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light." And so what I'm interested in this afternoon, or this evening rather, is that little phrase there at the end of verse number 8 where it says, "Walk as children of light." Now, as I'm looking at this, I read this, it's an imperative statement. That means it's not optional, right? It is a commandment. It's an instruction, a direction of God that we are to walk as children of light. Now, the thing that we always understand and know, that when we look in the Bible, we see this, that it talks about walking, that what it is giving us is not just simply our journey, not just simply our path, but it is something that encompasses our entire life. He is telling us to live our life as those that are children of light. And that's what he's teaching us. But the thing that we understand when we read this passage, when we look here at verse number 8 there, it tells us that not everybody can fulfill this commandment that's given, right? Because notice what it says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord." And so it tells us that the number one thing that we must have in our life is a change in our state. There is something that is wrong with our natural state there, and that's the way it gives that naturally that we are born into darkness. I know that we live in a world now where they want to put across the idea that we're all good and there's some good in us and there's light in us and we're just born that way, and if we'll just give everybody long enough that it'll come out there. But the Bible will teach us and makes it very clear that our natural state is that we are born in darkness there, in so much that David would talk about there, then this is a man that God would later call a man after his own heart, as Mark would talk about this morning. He said, "In sin was I conceived," there. And it tells us, it reminds us that where we are and where we are at, so that it tells us here that our natural state is in darkness. Now, if you're in darkness, you can't produce light. I've never looked outside when it was dark and just seen the darkness magically produce light. It doesn't do that. In fact, that's what darkness is the absence of light. You can't walk in darkness if there is no light in you. And so it tells us there must be a change from our natural state into a new state there, right? And a state that will produce light. It's kind of like
like these bulbs that are around here, some of them are turned off, that right now there is no light coming on them, and we're going to go flip a switch, right? We're going to change their state. They're in a state of being off now, and then we're going to turn them on, and they will produce light eventually. And so that is the concept. That is the idea of one that has been changed there. You say, well, if the Bible says that you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light, that what is it that causes that change? Can I say that we live in a world today where I think we've got this messed up a little bit, that we teach this idea that if you just simply recite this prayer or just simply follow these instructions, we have this concept that's given out that do the best that you can there. Turn over a new leaf. Do these works. Do these different things, and that'll take care of changing your state. But can I say it does not work that way? You can't look at those light bulbs up there and say, well, if you do this and you do that, that you'll naturally produce light. No, there has to be something added in there. In fact, we flip on the switch. What are we doing? We're putting power in there. Can I say that in order to translate us or to change us from a state of darkness into a state of light, that it requires a supernatural power in our lives, a supernatural work that Colossians chapter 1, down in verse number 12 will kind of bring us into that thought. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light there. And so we're on the same concept. It says you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light. And so that it takes a work of God to make us meet, to bring us into that power there. It goes on to say, who hath delivered you, delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. And so it shows us exactly where we're at. Naturally, we are under the power of darkness. I don't know that we ever really think about it that way, that we ever truly, when we're in that state, that when we're lost, that we realize that we're under a power that is keeping us in that position. That's the reason that a man that is in that place, that is in his natural state, he cannot produce light. He cannot go out and do the things that are required. He can't walk as a child of light. He can't live the life that is required, because the power of darkness has got him over there. And so it tells us here that it takes a work from God to make us meet to be partakers. And how does he do it? He translates us from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear light. As I said there, it is a supernatural work that must take place there. You say, well, what have we got the idea of translate? Well, I can think of somebody in the Bible that makes an excellent example of translating there. We think about there in the Old Testament, Enoch, right? The Bible says that he was not, for God took him. What was he done? He was translated. One day he was walking on this earth. The next moment he was walking up there in heaven. And we understand there had to be something change about him in order for that to happen, because the Bible will tell us that in our natural state, we can't stand before God. And so there was a change that took place there. The same thing will happen to us on the moment that we are saved. There has to be that supernatural change in us. Jesus would tell us, give it to us this way, over in John chapter 3, as he's speaking to Nicodemus, he says, you must be born again there. We have to be born into this kingdom of light there. In order to be able to walk as children of light, we've got to be born into that family there. It's kind of like this, that I, as growing up, I was expected to walk as a child or to live a life as a child of Wanda and Tony Dragu. I don't know how good of a job I did, but that's what I was expected to do. I'm satisfied I probably didn't, because I had to get the punishments to kind of back that up. But anyway, that's what I was expected. But you know that throughout this this world, there was only two people in this entire world that were able to walk that way. One of them's changed her name now, and she didn't show up tonight. But there was only two of us, me and my sister, that could walk as children of Wanda and Tony Dragu, because we were the only children. And so that's the same concept, the same idea. We live, I believe, in a world today where we've got many people that are trying to walk as children of light who are not the children of light. They're still in darkness, and so that they're trying to produce something that is not, they're not, or they are not able to work and to do, because they have never had that supernatural change in their state. We're born in darkness. It says there, you were sometimes darkness, but now there's a difference. And it was God that makes the difference. So once the difference has been made, once we have been brought into this place now, where we are the children of light, that where we are the sons of God, that's what the Bible will teach us now, that we've been translated out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, the commandment is to live our life as the children of light. And what this gives us here, as I said in the beginning, it is something that encompasses every aspect of our life. That we realize that being a Christian, that walking as a child of light is a full-time job. I'm afraid in this day and age that we've got many Christians, many individuals that want to be part-time Christians. They may be in the, they may be changed. They may be the children of light, but they only really walk as children of light on certain days, Sundays, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. But whenever the church time and whenever the church doors aren't open, they don't think about the fact that they ought to be children of light. The idea of walking as a child of light, of children of light, is something that will encompass everything in our lives. And so what it gives us is this. It tells us that in order to walk as children of light, it will consist of a separated life there, because that's exactly what it is. There are those that are children of darkness and those that are children of light. It naturally separates itself out. And by the way, do you ever notice that light and darkness do not coexist, right? That one always drives the other away. And I've always, a way I've always seen it, it's light that drives away darkness, is it not? I've never seen somebody flip on a light and the dark try to push its way back in there. It doesn't work that way. Why is it? Because the two things separate one another. Well, God did that in the very beginning, did he not? When he said, let there be light, later on, he divided the darkness and the light there. And so they are two separate things. And that's the way it ought to be in our lives. There ought to be a life of separation there. We know that the Bible will call us, will tell us there in the book of Corinthians, it says to come out from among them, right? If you were in darkness and now are you light, to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord there. And so we are talking about a life that is different than those that are around us, in so much that it will identify what you are. Do you ever realize and stop and think that what your life is, the way you live your life, identifies who and what you are? That's the goal. That's what it's supposed to do. If we're walking as children of light, that our walk, that our life ought to identify us to those around us as children of light. I think we oftentimes see in those churches around us, in those messages that are being given in some of these places, I thank God that it's not here, where we get this concept, they get this idea that we can't, we've got to be more like the world. We've got to try to look like them a little bit more so that we don't make them uncomfortable. We'll bring them in there with us. But the Bible will tell us that this, that we are to walk in a way that ought to separate ourselves from them so that we are identified. I've said this many times, and I think it ought to be true that you ought not be able to be in a group of people for very long without them identifying that there is something different about you. They may not know how to name it. They may not be able to understand exactly that you're a child of God because that process is there, that thought, that concept isn't taught in the world, but they should be able to identify that there is something different about this individual. They don't live the life the way that we live. They don't live they don't walk. They don't make the same decisions. Their actions are not the same as ours. Their reactions are not the same as ours. They are governed by something different because they are living, they are walking in a way that identifies them as something separate there. It says there, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Those ought to be the things that define the walk of the children of light. It identifies us. John, 1 John, that he'll give it to us this way as he is opening up his book. He comes down into verse number 5 and he says this, "This then is the message which ye have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." Man, you ever notice how blunt John is? Man, he doesn't pull any punches. He says, if you're going to call yourself, say that you have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, he says, you're a liar. There is no darkness in him. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, what is it? We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his son cleanseth us from all sin. And so what is called here, the separated life, the walk that we're supposed to give, walking as children of light, that we ought to be identifiable as the children of God because we are walking in his light in fellowship with him. But not only does it identify what we are, it will also indicate what is acceptable before God. If we're going to walk in light as he is in the light, there's going to be some things that are removed from our life, right? There's going to be some things that are different, some things that are not acceptable in our lives, and those are going to stand out. In fact, that's what this passage will tell us down in verse number 10 there. It says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. It says, walk as children of light, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Can I say that's not really a popular concept or thought in this day and age, is it? That there are things that are acceptable before God and things that are not acceptable before God. We want to kind of bring up across the idea that God just accepts us the way we are. And thank God that he does initially. That song, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. We come to him just as we are. But once he makes that change, there is an expectation. I don't know about you, but I still read in the Bible where it says, be ye holy for I am holy, right? I still read in the Bible where there are things that he wants out of us and things that he doesn't. We get caught up sometimes. We talk about and hear people ask these questions. It says about not being under the law. And I understand. I agree. The Bible will tell us very clearly that we are not under the law of Moses any longer. Jesus fulfilled that law for us. Praise God for that. I wouldn't want to be under there anyway. James will tell us there that if you could keep the whole law and offend in one point, that you're guilty of all of it. I don't know about you, but I've read through that thing. I don't think I'd remember them all. I think I'd mess up somewhere along the way and I'd be guilty of the whole thing. So I thank God that we're not under that anymore, that we don't have that condemnation. But that doesn't mean, as has been taught here many, many times, that doesn't mean that we are just free to go however we want, to live however we want. There are still expectations of the child of God to prove what is acceptable before God. In fact, in the Bible, in the New Testament, you say that there are commandments. You say, wait a minute, I thought that was an Old Testament thing. Well, I'm preaching on one right now. Walk as children of light. That is a commandment there. You want to find another list, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. It's an easy place to find a few of them. Verse number 16, rejoice evermore. Now I like that commandment, by the way. That's a lot better than don't steal, right? Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. This one's a tough one. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, I have to admit, that one's a little tough. In everything give thanks. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is the good. This one's tough. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And so we'll have those kind of places throughout the New Testament there. And they are telling us what God expects out of his children and how the life that they are supposed to live, to prove to the world around us and to those that are walking there, is still in darkness, that there are things that are acceptable before God and things that aren't. And so it's an identifying walk. It indicates what's acceptable. But you know, this passage, it involves a warning. It comes on down here in verse number 11, and have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now, this concept of fellowship, that just simply means to join up. And if we're going to walk in fellowship with God, that means we're supposed to be joined up with him. And by the way, that's what separation really is. We'll preach that concept throughout there in our churches, that we're to separate. And so that just always means we're supposed to shun a bunch of stuff. Well, no, separation actually means being removed out of one thing and joined up with something else, does it not? If we are to imagine this as that if you had a bunch of canned M&Ms before me, I like to do this when I'm eating M&Ms. I'll dump a few of them out on my desk there at work to keep me from turning the bag up and just chewing them all. And what else? What I do is I start separating them out. They all taste the same, but they're different colors, right? And so I'll sit there and I'll group them together. Well, what am I doing? I'm separating them, am I not? But I'm joining them together. So all the yellow ones are over here and the green ones are over here and so on and so forth. Well, that's what separation actually is we're supposed to come out from among them that are in the world and join ourselves up, have fellowship with God and walk with Him. And that's what He's done. He has taken us out of that darkness and placed us in the body of Christ. So we're supposed to be in that. We're joined up with something else. And a lot of times I'm afraid we forget that part of it because we talk about that separation. You almost get the idea you're by yourself. But that's the great thing about what the Bible teaches in separation is you're joined up with a group of people with like minds, right? That your group are joined up with those that are similar to you. But the warning is about where your fellowship can be. And he says, have not fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And so he is warning us that there is an enticement that is around to go back. I don't know about you, but this old man doesn't always like to walk as a child of light. Just as growing up, I didn't always like to walk as I'm supposed to as the child of Wanda and Tony Dragoo. I've said this many times. I have a rebellious nature about me. It's strong in me. And I'm as stubborn as it gets. I'm hard-headed. And so it just doesn't always work the same way it's supposed to be. God knows it. Sometimes He's got to work pretty hard on me. And I've always said this. One of these days, I'm going to get up to heaven. He's going to slap me upside the head and say, why'd you have to make it so hard? Just the way that I am. I'm sorry about that. But anyway, that the warning here is given about the enticement to go back. And that's why I backed up and read verses number 5, 6, and 7 on this. In verse number 5, Paul is reminding the Ephesians here. He's writing to the church. He says, for this you know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And so he's talking about those who may not have simply committed that, but who participate in that, who are active in that, who that defines what they are. In verse number 6, he says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Is that not what the Bible says right there? You say, well, of course it does, because that's what we read in Revelation chapter 19, right? There's coming a day where those that practice those things, those that live in sin and never have their natural, they never get changed from their natural state, that we understand that the wrath and the judgment of God will come upon them and that they will be judged and cast into a lake of fire and brimstone which burneth forever and ever. We understand that, and I believe that's true. But notice the next verse that it says in there. It says, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Now, wait a minute here. I'm not going to ever, I'm a child of God. I've been translated from the darkness into the light there. I belong to Him. I don't have to worry about that part of it, about that wrath. So what could Paul be reaching out to? What could he be talking about here? Can I tell you, I believe that what he is getting at is this. He's not just solely talking about the wrath that will come someday upon the children of disobedience, but he's talking about the effects of sin on this day in which we live. We were talking about right before I left this morning in Sunday school about the cost of sin there, that there is an expense related to it there. Can I say that's exactly what I believe he's getting at? Because the child of God who is not walking in the direction that he's supposed to be, he's not living a life that is a child of light should be, that there is the danger of getting caught up with those that are falling under the wrath and judgment of God, is there not? Now, I don't have the same eternal penalty that they have. Praise God for that. But I still read in the Bible where there is judgment for sin. In the Bible, we still have that verse in Galatians, do we not? Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He said, if he soweth to the Spirit, he shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Soweth to the Spirit or to the flesh, he shall the flesh reap corruption. That might be backwards, but this is the right verse. This is maybe not in the right order, but it's the right stuff. And so we understand that there is a penalty to the things there can be a penalty to the things that we put in the ground. Today's March the 19th, and there's a lot of people that have this, they're brought up and they're taught March 17th, what happens? Your potatoes go in the ground, right? Doesn't matter if there's snow on the ground, water's 3 feet deep over top of them, you put them in the ground on St. Patrick's Day. That's what you do. I wasn't brought up that day. We wait till the conditions get right and put them in the ground. But there are some that on March the 17th, they're planting their potatoes regardless of what's going on there, right? And so when they put those potatoes in the ground, that was what, Friday? That would have been Friday, right? Can I tell you, they didn't expect the potatoes to come out on Saturday, did they not? Did they? It takes time, does it not? And can I say, that's the way it is spiritually speaking as well. The things that we sow don't come back right away. But be not deceived, it will come back. It will grow. You put those potatoes in the ground, and assuming they don't rot, that come about June, July, August, depending on when you get them in the ground, you start digging them, right? And you're getting something back out of them. Now, I ain't against digging up and getting a good potato out of there. Somebody taking it and frying it up, right? I like that. I ain't got no problem with that. But some of the things that we sow in the ground along with those children of disobedience there, that they're going to come back and they're going to have things in their life or bring up things that we're going to have to reap we may not enjoy. There is still, even for the child of God, a penalty of sin. I still read in the Bible there in the book of Hebrews where it says he chastiseth and scourgeth every son whom he loves there. And so there is a warning against going back and walking the way that the children of this world do. So we're supposed to have a separated walk because our nature has been changed. So, well, preacher, you make it sound pretty easy. I know, but it ain't. It's a difficult thing. It ought to encompass all of our lives there. But what happens? It causes a shining out. Notice in verse number 12, it says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Talking about the sins, about the things that are going on of those that are the children of disobedience, those that are still in darkness that are done in secret. They're hidden. They're put away, right? Well, on this day, they're on the open. But anyway, they're hidden. They're put away. They're not something that they're necessarily that they're proud of. But notice it says in verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. It says, and whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And so what is it telling us? It is telling us that though there may be things that are kept secret, that one who is walking in light, one that is a child of light, will shine out in such a way that it will reveal the things that others have hidden. I bring it down to this. I think I've used this picture here before, and we'll use it again. I'm not very good at cleaning windows. You don't believe me? Go look at the windows on my vehicle and the mirrors on them. Just not very good at it. And I'll go through and I'll clean them up and wipe them down and think, man, that looks pretty good. In fact, I did that just today. I kind of wiped off some water spots on my mirrors there, on my side view mirrors, so that I could see a little bit better. And I wiped them down and I got done. I thought, man, that looks pretty good. And then as I was driving over here, the sun was shining behind me, right? And I didn't do nothing but just smear the mess all over it. You say, well, what was the difference? Well, the mess was always there. It was always looked like that. But when the light shined upon it, it began to reveal what was actually going on. And by the way, that's generally what always happens when I clean a mirror or a window. I just never have gotten the knack for it. But anyway, that's what light will do. And if we are walking as children of light, if we are causing, if our life is shining out the way that it's supposed to, it will begin to reveal some things in the world around us. Now, we can all agree we live in a pretty dark world, do we not? I mean, let's just face it. It just seems like it's getting darker and darker as the days go along, that things are changing. And I sit there and hear about the things they're talking about and some of the things going on. And my mind, in some ways, it gets depressed there because I'm thinking, man, it's just getting sad. In other ways, my spirit starts to rejoice. I'm saying, man, this thing's almost over. That God, he's just like he's putting pieces in order. He's setting everything up that he needs to be done. And it kind of goes back and forth a little bit. On one side, I'm sad about it. But on the other side, I'm getting excited and rejoicing, knowing that not only is the Bible true, that we're getting closer to getting out of here. I'm not going to prophesy what day it is because the pastor's already called the day that we're going to leave, right? All right, the pastor said it happens on the day that you think not. So there you go. Find the day that you think not, and then that's when we're getting out of here. But regardless of that, in this dark world that we live in, what we need is more and more Christians that are willing to walk as children of light, to shine forth into the dark world around us and reveal the things that are going on. You know, the sad thing about the state of our country and the state of our world is some of the things that are there doing that are so evil and so dark, they think that it's right and that it's good. Why? Because it's not been revealed by light in their lives. And that's our job. Did not Jesus tell us that we are the light of the world? That we are the city that is set upon a hill? He says that no man lighteth a candle and putteth it under a bushel. That we are to shine forth into the world to reveal those things. That's what this word manifest means. It means to make it known. And it means to bring it out there. And so we reveal those things that are around us. And what will happen? It will begin to reprove them. That's what it said. But all things that are reproved are made manifest, right? It's revealed and reproved. And that's what we are called to do. We are called to go out into a world and reveal those things that are wrong, and they are to be reproved. But the thing about it is by our life and by our walk. We all understand, and I'm not going to take away from this, the fact that the Bible will tell us to go into all the world and teach the gospel, right? It tells us to go preach, go to all nations and preach the gospel. We are called to go out and witness to those that are out there in the world and tell them about Jesus Christ. I don't want to take anything away from that, because that is a commandment of God. And by the way, we're still supposed to do that. But we also understand there are those that do not want to hear. There are situations when we cannot tell it. And there are those, even maybe some in our family, they've gotten so tired of hearing it, so tired of us talking about it, it's a sore subject to them, and they don't want to deal with it anymore, and we cannot vocalize it. But that does not mean we cannot still live a life that reproves theirs. You ever read over there in 1 Peter chapter 3, it talks about a woman that has a husband that is lost. And about that if she be pleased, she stay with him, right? And that she would live a chaste conversation or chaste life, right, around him. And that life might win him to the Lord. I understand that we are called, and I don't want us to not go out and tell and spread the gospel, but our life a lot of times can shine in on other people's and reprove their deeds and convict them just as much as our words, especially when our words can't reach them anymore. That's what we're called to do. That's why we are called to be the light of the world. And so when we live and walk as a child of light, that what we're going to do, we're going to reveal those things that are wrong. We're going to reprove those things in their lives. But we need to understand this. It's going to be rejected. Not all are going to accept it. Jesus said there in John chapter 3, down in verse number 19, He says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Remember what it was like before you were saved. You didn't like it when somebody shined in the light of the gospel, when the light of the Lord Jesus Christ came into your life and disrupted those things that were going on in your life. They began to reveal that it was wrong, reprove, and convict. That's why somebody who's under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, a lot of times we consider them to be miserable, right? Because that light, you know, there are creatures in this world, and I'm talking naturally now, not spiritually. There are creatures in this world that are born, live, and die, and never see light in their entire life. And in fact, if you bring down the light into where they are, they're afraid of it. They shy away from it. And I'm not talking about nocturnal animals. I mean, I'm talking about animals like down in the oceans there and down in some of these caves where light never gets to. And they don't like the light. That's the way we're born. We don't like when the spiritual thing comes in. And so it is rejected. Jesus told his disciples, says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. We ought to be expecting and understanding that, yes, we are called to walk and live a life according to what it means to be a child of light. But understand that we are going to reveal some things in people's life. We're going to reprove some things in people's life by our life, and therefore it is going to be rejected. Basically, it's this concept. You are not going to be a popular person for doing this. I remember when I first started preaching, there was a preacher sometime, well, somewhere along the way. I don't think it was a pastor here. He said, just go ahead and understand. He says, you ain't going to be anybody's hero. If you're going to go through and preach the gospel, you're not going to be somebody's hero. Young boys are not likely to look up to you and idolize you because you're going to do this thing. Can I tell you, if we're going to live a Christian life, I'm going to go ahead and warn you, there's going to be those that don't like you because of it. It ain't because there's anything wrong with you. It's just they just don't like the light. It's going to be rejected. But it doesn't matter. We're still called to walk that way. We're called to live that life according as God has set it forth that we ought to walk as children of light because He's changed our nature. And thank God for that, by the way. And we can live in that light. In fact, that's what the Bible will tell us there in Corinthians. It'll talk about the God of this world hath blinded the minds of those that are in the world, lest the glorious light of the gospel should shine upon them. And so we need to understand we're going to walk. God's changed our nature. We are now children of light. We got to walk that way. We got to live our life that way. Our actions, our decisions, our reactions, our choices ought to be governed by that. It's hard. And understand we're going to shine out to those around us. And they may not like it. Can I tell you, every now and then, I think God will win some people that way. I think one of the biggest problems that has been in the church is there's been many people down through the years who have had the right message, but the life didn't match it. They were part-time, only when it suited them. I say, let's become full-time Christians. Walk, live our life as children of light. Get us a song.